Steve, thank you so much. It's Bill Leff along with Judy Pilek and for Wendy Snyder. If you want to jump in at any point during the show, 312-981-7200, you can call us there. You can text us there. There's a movie opening up later on this week called Concussion. I've been seeing clips from Concussion for the last three or four months.
It looks really good.
It looks fantastic. It's a true story based on a true story, the story of Dr. Bennett Amalu and his work to find the correlation between football injuries, most notably concussions, and long-term problems. One of the doctors in that movie, Dr. Julian Bales, joins us right now to talk about that story. Dr. Bales, thanks for being here. How are you, sir?
Good, Bill. Good to talk to you and Judy.
Hi, Doctor.
Not bad getting part of your life in a movie and being played by Alec Baldwin. That must feel pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it does. I guess there are a lot worse things. I think that the movie-going public will appreciate what we went through, the emerging science, the process scientifically of bringing that forward, the NFL's reaction to that, and ultimately the process of accepting science. So I think it's a good movie.
If you wouldn't mind, Dr. Bales, let's start at the very beginning. What were those very first steps like when you guys all determined we've got a major problem here?
Well, you know, we began to see in the late 1990s, early 2000s, that retired NFL players were having a lot of problems cognitively, emotionally. But it really wasn't until Bennett Amalu came out in 2005 with the Mike Webster autopsy and the results that showed that he had, for the first time in a modern, beloved helmet in sport like football, changes in the brain that were similar to dementia and that were from repetitive head contact.
In those early days when you guys determined there was some sort of a problem there, what did you do with that information? I know the NFL probably, I mean, I know how the story ends, but the NFL was none too pleased to hear this news, were they?
They weren't. They didn't want it to be true. I didn't want it to be true. I said early on this was not going to be a fun journey. But I think the good news is in the end, after the congressional hearings in late 2009, I think they got it. I think they have made a lot of changes. They've accepted it. And hopefully we can soon make CTE part of a bygone era and eliminate the risk for most athletes.
I know you just pointed out, Dr. Bales, that the NFL is taking steps to make it a safer game, but it's still not what it could be or should be, is it? Would you still, I don't know if you have kids or if they've played football, but I've heard so many players and people connected with football say, I can't say to my kid, yeah, please, put on a uniform, go out there on the gridiron. It's still dangerous, right?
Well, yeah, it's a collision sport. There's still some risk. I think it's safer than it's ever been. I think we've all worked hard, and I'm the medical director, the head of the medical advisory for Pop Warner Football. We're the oldest and largest in the U.S. You know, we made changes 4 years ago to eliminate head contact in practice. So I think at every level of play, from youth football all the way up to the NFL, we've reduced the unnecessary gratuitous contact. I think we've enforced rules to eliminate head-to-head contact. I think we've done education of coaches and parents and players so they understand what a concussion is. But look, at the end of the day, it does have some risk, and it's an individual decision that people have to make for themselves and their children.
But it's like, Doctor, like any sport. I mean, every sport has a risk, but are you comfortable now with where football is at with this issue?
I think it's as safer than it's ever been. It is still a contact sport. I think everyone has to make their own decision. But look, you know, as parents, as coaches, as athletic administrators, we teach our kids to do certain things, and some of those have risks. We teach them how to ride a bike. We teach them to skateboard. We teach them to hunt. We teach them to swim. So some of these things have risk, and it's a matter of mitigating, reducing the unnecessary aspect of those risks, but still letting them enjoy things where they benefit. And people need to think about the benefits of organized sports like football and what a child, anyone, can learn from them.
We're getting a lot of calls for you. Our guest again, Dr. Julian Bales, chairman of the Department of Neurosurgery and co-director of North Shore University Health System's Neurological Institute. He's one of the doctors featured in the new movie Concussion, starring Will Smith and Alec Baldwin. Let's start out with line one. Mark, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Bales.
Hi, Dr. Bales. I played football in high school in the middle to late 70s. And as early as 1991, I had an MRI of my brain that the neurosurgeon who's over at Loyola, in a split second, said, oh, you played high school football, I see. So they've known about this a lot longer than anybody's really letting on, I think. But also, are they making any progress towards diagnosing CTE without the person having to be dead? I mean, I suffer all the classic symptoms, you know, depression, and I have double vision and you know, all kinds of things.
Well, Mark, good point. You know, our work at UCLA, which we've been doing the last 4 years, uses a special PET scan. It's still experimental, but it shows these tau protein deposits in living people. So we've done a couple dozen former NFL players and a couple military veterans who were exposed to blast injury. And so we think that has great promise. But you're right. You know, if we can only diagnose something when somebody's dead, we really can't help them. So we're optimistic in the very near future that we will be able to see these changes in the brains of living people.
Well, I think that the threshold is much lower than pro sports. Like I said, I was mediocre on a mediocre team, and I suffer all the classic symptoms. And I've had MRIs of my brain since, and nothing is progressing, so it's not anything, you know, like MS or anything like that. But you know, I think the threshold is much lower. I really hesitate to let my own kids play football. I love the sport, but, you know, I think we just don't really know what's going on with this.
Dr. Bales, what do you say to that?
Well, I think we know more than we used to know, and we know that there are many benefits to playing sports. We know that 10 people drown every day in the U.S., and we don't outlaw swimming. So I think it's a personal decision. I think there are many, many benefits to playing, and I think you have to decide if it's right for you or your kids.
Mark,
thank you for the call, Mark. I hope you're feeling better. I know that must be a very rough thing you're going through. Good luck with everything.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, take care. When you look at a brain of somebody who's played football for any length of time, Dr. Bales, what are you seeing differently as you're looking at that brain as opposed to somebody who hasn't played football?
Well, you can't ordinarily see on a regular MRI football-related damage. You have to look at really the long-term effects, and you don't know really except people who have played many years for the most part are at risk of CTE. If you play youth sports or high school, is very, very unusual that can end up with chronic brain damage. I think it's the exposure over many years is where the risk lies.
Let's get another call or two in really quick. Kevin is on hold. Kevin, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Julian Bales.
Hey there, Bill. And Dr. Bales, great discussion. Thanks for your time. My question to you is, you know, even Bill mentioned that the uniforms, and then you mentioned about non-head contact during practices. What can you tell the audience about how the helmets have been developed? I've read before that the helmets are really just, you know, a nice thing to look at. They really weren't protecting the head. Can you tell us what's being developed on the helmet development? And is it something that will then be affordable to, like the Pop Warner that you mentioned?
Well, great questions, Kevin. You know, there is no concussion-proof helmet. That's been part of the problem. And so the reason is the brain floats inside the skull, and even though you have a helmet on, whenever the helmeted skull suddenly stops, the brain moves around on the inside. We call that brain slosh. So there are some interesting techniques that us and others have worked on, looking at perhaps a band around the neck, which generally increases the pressure of the amount of blood, the volume of blood inside the skull. And that mitigates, we think, brain slosh. The Performance Sports Group has looked at acquiring that and is going to bring that to market, we hope, next year. So we have a lot of hope for slosh mitigation. Helmets, they do some things. They prevent skull fractures and maybe some cases of brain injury that are major, but they don't prevent concussion. That occurs to the brain sloshing and stretching and tearing fibers. So we're optimistic. In the meantime, you know, we want to continue to work on eliminating unnecessary or gratuitous head contact in practice and head-to-head hits in games. But it's not just concussions. It's the exposure to repetitive head impacts.
And will that technology be affordable, in your opinion, to regular population?
Yeah, I think it'll be eminently affordable. I think it'll be about the price of two McDonald's meals, and everyone should look into it if it comes out that this may be a potential solution.
Kevin, thanks so much for the call.
Yes, very good. Have a great day.
You too.
Dr. Bales, so can you only get a concussion from hitting your head with like someone else's head? I mean, what about just the impact of football when you fall to the ground or you know, just get hit a different way?
Yeah, you can certainly get a concussion by hitting the ground. That's where a lot of concussions in soccer occur. And you don't even have to necessarily hit your head. You can have a whiplash-type injury if you're hit hard enough that can also slosh the brain around. So that's another example of this problem of helmets not always being able to prevent concussions.
Well, hearing that word slosh, me as a parent, I would never have my
Yeah,
my
that close
play.
To the word brain. It's ugly, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Dr. Bales, all the clips I've seen, I've not seen the film yet. We're going to see it next week. They make the NFL out to look like villains, like bad guys, but the NFL cooperated with this film, didn't they?
I'm not sure, Bill, that they did cooperate, but, you know, I don't look at them as villains. I think they were very slow to react. I think they were dismissive at first, and we could talk about that a long time. But I think once they got it, I think when doctors like their Dr. Joe Maroon from the Steelers brought this to them, I think that they eventually got it. I think they've made a lot of changes, and I'm not sure there's a whole lot more we can do to make the sport safer. Maybe take the lineman out of the three-point stance and maybe eliminate high contact, high velocity hits like punt and kickoff returns. But otherwise, I don't know if there's a lot more we can do to make the sport safer.
I know that you're a doctor and you're not a lawyer, but I've heard people talk about the fact that if every player involved in some sort of a class action suit against the NFL wins the money that they want, that you're talking about a serious deficit for the NFL. I know they're making crazy amounts of money, but we're talking lots and lots of players with lots and lots of injuries who want their money, want their cut.
Yeah, it's been, you know, the source of a class action lawsuit, and I think that's going to get resolved and come to a conclusion. But it's important at every level of play that the liability of this gets mitigated, gets under control, or our sports are not going to be able to be enjoyed by youth and older people alike.
We talked about this the other day. Bob Costas, who's been calling football games and all sorts of sporting events for years, says that unlike other sports, the problem with football is the game itself. In baseball, they had a steroid incident or incidents that's separate. In hockey, there was too much fighting. They figured out a way to curb that. But in football, it's the game itself that is the problem. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's certainly probably our highest contact or collision sport, so it inherently is risky in that sense, not only for the brain but for other injuries of the body. So I think that the sport, you know, has gotten such high velocity through the years. It's morphed from its origins in rugby and 100 years ago in the late 1800s, and I think it has to continue to evolve now to take head contact out of the sport.
Are you okay, doctor, to hold on for just a minute? We have a bunch more calls, but we have to take a break. Are you all right on time?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for that. Our guest is Dr. Julian Bales, chairman of the Department of Neurosurgery and co-director of North Shore University's Health Systems Neurological Institute, one of the doctors featured in the new movie Concussion. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilak in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Judy Pilak. Wendy Snyder is off. She's on vacation. Dr. Julian Bales is our guest. Dr. Bales is a chairman of the Department of Neurosurgery and co-director of North Shore University's Health Systems Neurological Institute. He's one of the doctors featured in the new movie Concussion. Several texters wanted to know this. I'm paraphrasing here, Dr. Bales, but they say, how obvious is it that continued abuse on your body and especially your head and your brain would lead to serious problems over the years? Injuries, concussions are going to do that. I think they knew that it existed, that there was a risk there, but I don't think they knew how severe it was. Is that correct, Dr. Bales?
Well, you know, Bill, what was the big change was that we knew that you could have career-ending or season-ending concussions. People like Steve Young and Al Toon and Wayne Sherbet and other people had season and career-ending concussions. But what we didn't know was that you could seemingly recover and then later in life get dementia, and that's what the CTE story was all about. So that was a little bit counterintuitive. That could happen later. That could happen in a sport where you wore a helmet, where people presumed your brain was protected. So that's really what the movie is about, I think.
Dr. Bales, you sound like a really big football fan.
Are you a big football fan?
Yeah, I probably am. I played 10 years. I have a career that I always say when I go home, none of my family and friends can remember with any specificity. But, yeah, I love the sport. This was never anti-football. It was never anti-NFL. It was really trying to bring emerging science and have it appreciated for what it is and having it acted upon so that the game is made safer. And I think that's happened.
Good. That's very good. Jim has a question that kind of echoes the sentiments of several of our texters. Jim, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Julian Bales.
Dr. Bales, I'm the author of a book titled Unintended Impact, and it deals with amateur sports, specifically college sports. And my question is, why do you feel that the NCAA has not received the same level of attention that the NFL has in terms of accountability?
Jim, that's a very good question. And I'm familiar with your book. I'd like to read it. I need to read it. I think that because the emerging science that Ben Adamalo and I brought forth just a few years ago was really centered on the NFL. Number two is that almost all the cases of CTE have been in people who have played many, many years and especially have played professionally. Juniors say, I'll play 30 years. Mike Webster played 27 years. Neither one of them had a diagnosed concussion, by the way. But I think the risk really accrues kind of like smoking so many packs of cigarettes and worrying about lung cancer. I think the real risk is in those who have played many, many years and hopefully now have played in what is now a bygone era. You know, we heard about Frank Gifford recently, and, you know, that was someone who played before we appreciated how serious these repetitive blows can be.
Jim, thank
you. One of the research things that was done by Dr. Stephen Reed at Northwestern in the 60s and the 70s, where they wired players under live game condition and studied the effects of contact to the head. And that research study was like a decade-long research study that seems to have been ignored in terms of head and spinal injuries.
Well, you're right. He was one of the first. He was at Evanston Hospital, and he came. He was wiring them for brain waves and looking at hits and so forth. But the technology really wasn't there. He was really a man of before his time. You're right.
Jim, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. Great call. Dr. Bales, I'm so excited to see the movie Concussion. It really is one of the more interesting stories from the sporting world and the neurological world of the last several years. Are you happy with the way everything went down? I know you've seen the film. Are you happy with the way the story was portrayed and you were portrayed?
Yeah, I think it was accurate. I think it depicts the science and the emerging data that we were coming out. And so I think the timeline, I think the science is accurate. Of course, they take a few Hollywood liberties with some of the way that things are portrayed. But in general, I think it's accurate and it fairly portrays the science.
Good.
And, Doctor, do you look like Alec Baldwin?
Not really.
Oh,
but,
I'm sorry.
I guess close enough in their mind.
That's not bad. Dr. Bales, thank you for being here with us today. We really appreciate it. The movie looks great.
Julie, enjoyed it.
Have a great New
Year.
Have
a great, great holiday, great New Year. Dr. Julian Bales, and again, that movie's Concussion. It opens this week. A quick break, and then we've got news coming up next. It's Bill and Judy, WGN.